First, I want to say that Bill Fenn will be distributing copies of his Little Catechism on Confession. And it's, if the mother is from the Most Reverend Fabian Ruskowitz, I highly endorse it. Our present conference will be till 11:15, when there will be time for confessions. The second article of the Creed: I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Our faith as Christians depends on our faith in the second person of the Holy Trinity becoming man. Our focus in this meditation will be to briefly reflect on four terms, namely Jesus, Christ, Son of God, and our Lord. The name Jesus, as we know, goes back to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are two events that identify who Jesus is: the Annunciation of Our Lady and the revelation by the angel to Saint Joseph. At the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady and told her first, "Hail, full of grace." No other translation of the Greek is Catholic. Mary is full of grace. Then he is told her, "You are to conceive and bear a son, and must name him Jesus." After Our Lady had conceived, Joseph, wondering how Mary was with child, remember, being obedient to the Jewish law and to spare Mary's reputation, he was going to put her away quietly. He was told, "Do not put away Mary. She has conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit." And then Joseph was told, Mary had been told that the child she would conceive and give birth to would be Jesus. But Joseph was told why the name would be Jesus. Because he is the one who is to save his people from their sins. In other words, the word Jesus from the Hebrew Yeshua means Savior. Yah therefore became man to save the human race. save the human race from the consequence of man's sin. As we said before, now I'll keep repeating, every sin always, in Latin sin, always has two consequences. Every sin always deprives the sinner of grace. And every sin always incurs a debt of suffering. Deprivation of grace, incurring the debt of suffering, they are the divinely revealed built-in consequences of sin. From what then is the Son of God become man to save us? To save us from the consequences of having lost grace. In the language that I spoke as a child at home, swear. The word for grace is love. Christ therefore saves us from the consequences of having lost more or less of God's love. And he has created manifestation of a love for us, his grace. Over the years, I've never tired repeating the Old Testament saying, God speaking, Ego didigo, dirigentes me, I love those who love me. Does God love every human being? Yes. Does God love every human being equally? No. And the measure of God's love, first of all, depends on his own divine will. Does God love fleas? Does God love mosquitoes? Does it have the birds? Yes. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist. Does God love us more than the fleas or the bees or the birds? Yes. God is God. But the second and crucial measure of God's love for us is our human responsive love for Him. And that's what sin is. Sin is a refusal to love God. In the measure that we sin, we fail in our love for God. Jesus is therefore Savior to save us, first of all, from the consequences of our sin by losing grace. By doing what? Restoring us to the grace we had lost by sinning. And secondly, is Jesus Savior by saving us from the suffering, the pain, the debt that we have incurred by our sins. So much for the name Jesus. Now, I believe in Jesus Christ. as we know, the English word Christ is simply an abbreviation of the Greek word Christos, spelled the same way, Christ, accept, and OS at the end. And it means the Anointed One. In Hebrew, Mashiach, or the English equivalent, Messiah. Messiah and Christ are identical words. What do we mean? And this is the focus of our retreat. What do we mean by what we believe? What do we mean when we say that Jesus is Christ? Jesus is the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, as we know, priests, prophets, and kings were anointed. In what sense was Jesus anointed? His humanity was anointed with the divinity. We cannot begin to comprehend, but as we said in our last conference, we better understand and go in understanding. Jesus was anointed in his human nature with a divinity, enabling Christ as man to be not just a prophet, a priest, a king, but the prophet, the priest, the king of the whole world. A prophet, by definition, is one who prophesies, who speaks out, who reveals what? Reveals the mind of God, reveals truth. And Christ said, I am the truth. He meant that literally. In his human nature, Jesus was united with the divinity. And consequently, this is a retreat and not a theological lecture. Consequently, everything which Jesus, now Christ, taught us, everything he told us, is the unqualifying, unquestionable truth. When he told us in his Sermon on the Mount, if a man even looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed with her adultery in his heart. That is the truth. Only God knows how many Americans still believe it. Including, how sad to admit it, many Catholics, priests, and I have to keep adding, and some bishops. Though her Christ we say means the anointed one, Christ's humanity was anointed with the divinity. Therefore, Jesus is the high priest, anointed with the priesthood. And over the years in teaching my own Jesuits their theology, or in lecturing to priests, in giving last fall a retreat to a large number of priests in the Archdiocese of New York. Every month, a group of priests, at least seven, here in Chicago, we have a time set. They fax me their questions, and they're hard-hitting questions. And my job then is, at the appointed time, I do my best to answer their questions. They object, I do more answering. They still object, I do more answering. If there is one thing that I tell priests, your priesthood means you are men appointed by God, ordained by Christ to sacrifice. The language of all religions of the human race, a priest is the one who sacrifices. Clearly, Christ ordained priests when, at the Last Supper, what words did Jesus use to ordain the apostles and their successors priests? Hear it. The words, do this in commemoration of me. That, by the way, is the only correct translation. Do this in memory of me is, I hate to say it, a mistranslation. But thank God, Pope Paul VI published a solemn document. No matter what the vernacular the liturgy may say, it is never the meaning of the vernacular, hear it. It is always the meaning of the original Latin. Christ was therefore a priest to offer sacrifice. But he became man in order to sacrifice what? Or sacrifice whom? Himself. As I know I'm sure you've heard many times, we define sacrifice as the surrender of something precious to God. Three terms. Surrender. Second term, something precious. Third term, to God. That's why God became man. Why both have a human body and soul that could separate and cause his death. But more important, that he might have a human will. There is no sacrifice unless there is voluntary giving up. That is why God became man, that he might have both a human body and soul that could separate and thus cause his death, and might have a human will. over the years, how many people I've asked, sometimes at an audience, how many wills did Christ have? One or two? How many? How many fingers do I see? How many? You better say two. Otherwise, you would be Nestorian heretics. The main reason God became man was to assume a human will and both teach us how we are to use our human wills and provide us with the grace we need. He, by sacrificing his will to the Father, remedied for us the strength we need to surrender our wills to God. Jesus is, we say, Christ. Prophet, to teach the truth. Priest, to offer himself with his human will to his Heavenly Father and King. As King, Christ has the authority. The authority to govern, the authority to direct, and the authority to both reward and punish. How we need, we Catholics, how we need to realize that Christ is our King. If there is one statement I want you to memorize, the Catholic Church is not a democracy. Christianity is not democratic. Christianity, in the deepest sense of the word, is monarchical. Christ, in speaking of the church, only twice in the Gospel, uses in the original Greek, ecclesia, church. His most frequently used name for the church is Basileia, kingdom. There is one person, a divine person, who has assumed a human nature, who is our King. And having the right to command us, having a right to govern us, having a right to both reward and punish us, what's our responsibility? What else except to obey? Third of the four terms that we are reflecting on in the second article of the Creed, Son of God. The Apostles' Creed wisely places the profession of faith in Jesus as the Son of God before going on to declare he was born of the Virgin Mary. No single history of Christianity had been more widely and militantly opposed then the unqualified divinity of the Son of Mary. I spent 8 days in Leroy, New York, teaching the community founded by Saint Peter Nolasco. They were founded by Saint Peter Nolasco, 1280 AD, to do what? To deliver Christians from being enslaved, those who were enslaved by the Moors, the Muslims. There were now some 900 million Muslims throughout the world. And the largest Muslim center in the United States is Detroit, Michigan. The bedrock of Islam, its foundation, is the denial that Jesus, the Ibn Maryam, the Son of Mary, is the Ibn Allah, the Son of God. And Islam has been powerfully influential in shaping, or dare I say, reshaping the minds of millions of once believing Christians. In the Quran, Muhammad could not be clearer. Every Christian is an idolater. Every Christian adores a man as though he were God. Step number one, this is the Quran. Try to convert these idolaters from their adoring the man Jesus as though he were God. If you don't succeed in converting him, enslave him. If he still resists, then kill him. Most of the martyrs of the Catholic Church in the 2,000 years of the Church's history, most of the martyrs have been murdered by Muslims. The birthday of Islam is 622 AD. As I've said to some of you more than once, in the Sudan alone, in the 50s of this century, over 2 million Catholics were starved to death by the Muslims. We'll never read that in the Chicago Tribune. Yet Africa, which is a strong Muslim continent, persecuting Christians as they've never been persecuted in the 2 millennia of Christian history. Africa, hear it, and don't forget, is the fastest growing Christian continent in the world. I would like to say this, quoting from the early century maxim, the blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. Sanguis martyrum est semen Christianorum. The church grows, hear it, and once more don't forget, the church grows in the measure that she has martyrs. Am I still clear? I've said this before and I repeat, what cowards we Catholics can be. Martyrdom of blood, what joy if that would be our privilege. But living martyrs, the only Catholics that were survived into and beyond the 20th century are those who are living the lives of martyrs. And a martyr is one who witnesses to Christ as the Son of God and pays dearly, comma dearly, comma very dearly for his witness. And we're all scared. The final fourth title, which the Creed gives to the incarnate God, is our Lord. Can there be any question that Jesus Christ is our Lord? Deprived we are, we who speak the English language. I said more than once, on the latest Webster's Unabridged Dictionary was being published, the editors, after millions of dollars spent, years of research, decided and declared it is no longer possible to publish an English dictionary which defines the meaning of a single word. The English speaking world is globally confused. That is one of them. Those of us working on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, beg the Holy Father to not leave the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the vernacular. Make sure it will be an authentic, unqualified Latin text. Due, maybe by the end of spring, at least by the early summer of this year. What is the word Lord in Latin? Dominus. The last thing that people want is to be, now an English word, to be dominated. Oh no! Are you telling us we are to be dominated? Sorry, my friends. Yes. You are brainwashed. The Americans have become a believe we say in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord. My secretary in Detroit, she smiled when she said it. She was at the computer and I was, well, telling her what to compute. And she paused and said, "Father, you are a dictator." What we've done with the English verb dictate. I hope I'm making sense. Being our Lord is our God, the creator of the universe. Can we dare to question his right to tell us what to do? And hardest of all, as our Lord, he has a right to tell us even how to think. Am I serious? As our Lord, because he is God, he sustains us and the whole world by his loving omnipotence. Is God, whom we identified as our creator, never say when God created, past tense. God continues creating every time a child is conceived. God creates an immortal soul out of nothing, and as the language goes, infuses that immortal soul into the, what we call, the fertilized womb. At the moment of conception, there has been an act of almighty creation. Is our Lord, because having created us, past tense, he continues providing us with the means we need. Talk about being dependent on God. For how many minutes can a human being survive without breathing? About how many minutes? 5 minutes? Maybe a strong body might survive for 6 minutes. God continues providing the air without which he would die in body. God continues providing us with the grace we need to remain alive in our souls in the state of God's friendship. Grace for the soul is what the air is for the body. Talk about being our Lord. talk about providing us with our needs. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our Lord because He governs the whole universe, including our own personal lives, every moment of our day and night. We'll come back to this again, as over the years some of you have heard many times. The verb to happen, or the noun chance, is not in God's vocabulary. Everything, and the word is everything, every moment is part of God's providence. And what is providence? It is God providing us. The noun providence is the noun derived from the verb provide. Constantly providing for us. How we need, how desperately we need, beginning with myself, to see God's providence in everything which we stupidly can say happens in our lives. Everything in our lives is meant by God to be a grace. Some graces He wants us to enjoy, Lord. Some graces He wants us to endure, pardon me, thanks, Lord. And during the retreat, be sure to examine your lives and ask yourselves, what in my life does God want me to enjoy? What in my life does God want me to endure? What in my life does God want me to remove? You mean, Father, you can't mean this. Do you mean that God puts persons, places, and situations into our lives He wants us to be rid of? Yes. As the young secretary of an executive that I counseled, a married man, that's he. A secretary, an attractive woman, was an occasion of temptation, strong temptation to her will. Her bosses, more life. You've got no choice. You've got to. I use the verb rid yourself of. You substitute another verb of that secretary. During the retreat, be sure to realize that God is master of everything, our Lord, and He puts in His what we call permissive providence temptations into our lives, and He wants us to remove those occasions of sin. And finally, God puts into our lives blessed creatures, blessed experiences that He wants us, not because we're bound to, but because we want to, remove from our lives out of love for the God who loves us. Jesus Christ is indeed our Lord, but He is a loving Lord. And with this I close. As St. Paul tells us, having joy set before him, he chose the cross. He will have made only as good a retreat as we examine our lives and ask ourselves, what does Jesus Christ want me to surrender? Give up, not because I would sin if I don't, but because, like Jesus Christ, out of love for him, I will do what he did out of love for me. Embrace, I mean that verb literally, embrace the crosses in our lives because we love Jesus Christ out of love for us, embraced his cross and made the way of his cross out of love for us. Mary, Mother of Jesus, Mother of our God, obtain for us something of your deep faith, faith in Jesus as our God, who wants us to love him as you loved him, by standing under his cross and being spattered by his blood. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, confessions, and then, as I said, I will be available for conferences. Is it 1:30 to 2, and then 2:30, and then 2 to 2:30, and 2:30 to 3.